Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
This. Recording in progress. This is the Life Autistic Podcast. I am your host, Ryan Summers. This is episode, I think this is 31.
Holy.
Wow. And as with me, as always, Dr. Drill in the building, in his building, not my building. And we are welcoming Julia today. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. Hello, nice to meet you too.
I like the AO. I like the AO.
Thank you for taking the time to hang out with us, talk about our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where are you located?
I'm from Austria. So that means there's Vienna, the capital, and there's the second big capital, which is, nobody knows it, Graz, and there I live.
Oh, wow, cool, cool. Thanks for joining us. I've been to Austria. I've been to Austria twice.
Oh.
I've not...
What did you do there?
Well, I was at the time working for a company here in Canada that imports European beer to Canada. And one of our companies we work with is Stiegel from Salzburg. So, yeah. So we went over. I worked for that company for a few years. So I went over on a company trip twice to we spent, 3-4 days in Salzburg. Toured the brewery and did all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, they have here in Graz also some beer brands. They're fighting over which is the best, Gesser or Buntigammer, but they can't choose.
No. That's part of the whole beer.
They have
thing.
Very much beer.
Yeah. That's definitely part of the beer world is rivalries, right? So tell us about you. Like, what you live there, you're from there. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking? And what's your story?
Well, I'm 27. I'm from Dominican Republic, so
oh, wow.
I'm not from there. I went to Austria.
Wow.
With my mother. Yeah, and she just she fell in love. She went with my new father to Austria. Yeah. And so I'm here. I like the snow.
You do? Yeah.
And as I spoke with you on email, I thought it would be, your time would be 6 hours later than mine.
Oh, yeah.
But I completely discalculated. It's the same as in Dominican Republic. So oh. 6 hours earlier. Yeah.
Yes. So that's why we got an email from you at 1 a.m. or something.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I was waking up at 2 a.m. and then I thought, oh, my God, I want to sleep a little bit because it is at 4 a.m. So I slept further and then 7 a.m. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, you get to sleep and be on the show.
Yeah. But now I'm here.
That's awesome. Great. Awesome. Well, we're glad you're here. We're glad it worked out. We were like, are we doing a show today or not? I don't know. Yeah, we are. So you're 27. You moved to Austria at 5. And
yeah.
Do you remember much of the move? Like, how was that for you?
I remember it visually. So 1999, there was this solar eclipse. And we had to put on these glasses, sunglasses, and this was kind of great because it happened when we got out of the plane.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And in the 2000, I saw the first snow. I wanted to eat it. Mom said, don't eat it. That's my first memory of here.
That's amazing.
And yeah. And when I was little, well, I heard I went to preschool. At 3, I learned to write a little bit. And it was a preschool with 3, 4, and 5 year olds. And it was a big school. It was a really, really, really big school.
Yeah.
So I left there when I was 4. Yeah, I can remember all these little 4-year-olds saying bye.
Wow.
But yeah, it's cool. And I grew up mostly in the cold. So yeah. Austria, it's I think it's kind of like New York with the coldness, but it is way different. It isn't that chaotic like in this third world, and way more technical jobs, which is good because I like to do there something. I could tell something about the family dynamic where I was the oldest and I had a sister, a brother, another sister, and they're all cute, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was always the oldest. I always had to be the most adult one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
I was just gonna say, were your siblings like in Dominican and moved over with you, or did they have more kids after you got there? Or is it?
I was adopted. So they had one daughter before me, and they went on to have two other.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
So when did you or your family discover autism in your life?
Well, it didn't occur because when I was little, there were some concerns, my grandmother was the main one, which was taking care of us. My mother was the whole time around. Working, being with her friends.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, a lovely lady. Now she's at Mallorca. She's taking care of elderly people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And okay. I was little, and there I had this special interest with bowel movements. And then my mother went to the doctor, yeah, to see what this is. Ah. And the doctor said I would have early onset puberty because I have this interest. And she immediately saw that this isn't right. And she at this point, she just gave up to look for an explanation for this. And my grandmother, she had this concern because I was always playing with the fire. I was always trying to grasp it.
Yeah.
And my mother said, just let her. And then it was on a, it was a very little one and a flame. And I touched it and then no more. It was the last time I touched something like this.
Wow.
And yeah, so, well, there was also the problem that I was doing harmful stimming as I was little because it was too loud. There were my uncles and aunts. They were all very loud. They were very young.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but they figured it out some, either way. And I went before to Austria, and there I had way, way less problems because I wasn't in the city anymore. Okay. I was, in a little town. It was just 1,500 people or something. Everyone knew everyone. It was a really, there wasn't any problems. It was very quiet.
Nice.
And forests everywhere. Yeah, I loved it. It was nice.
Yeah. Is that where you live now?
Yeah. No, I went to the town again because I just want to see the world.
Yeah.
I want to travel more. I want to do so many things. And yeah. How about you? Do you want to travel?
Oh, I love traveling. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. It's my favorite thing in the world. It's like if I had, you know, there's like that quiet, what would you do if you won the lottery? Right. Like that's always the question in it. If it was, if I won the lottery, I would just spend my whole life traveling. Like I would just, I love it. It's the best. I loved going to Austria. I've been to Europe a bunch of times, like with the beer company and then also with, I had a music group for a while, so we went to Europe a few times to tour and play shows and touring around France, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Czech Republic, Belgium. It was just amazing. So, yeah. What about you, Drew?
Oh, I would pretty much copy your same answers for that lottery question and just like buy a fleet of really nice cars to drive. Like pick different cars.
Oh, you mean flying cars?
Like I had to pick a car for a different country almost if I had like
unlimited. Oh, wow.
Okay.
I want to drive it. I'd want to drive it or like, you know, put the, my wife and I, we had our honeymoon in Italy.
Oh, wow.
And a couple times we put the rental, the little Fiat 500 rental car we got.
Yeah.
We put it onto a ship.
Yeah.
They take us to a new place. It was really fun.
Oh, that's cool.
But that's like my only European experience is Italy. Yeah.
I follow a few people online that are like doing world tours like that. I would love to do like a camper van, you know, get like a 4x4 four-wheel drive van and camperize it and then just, you know, solar panels and the whole bit and then just, you know, spend. I met a couple a few years back in Vancouver. I met a couple that was spending like 3 years driving around the world in a Land Cruiser. And oh man, how cool is that?
Yeah. Also, I'm interested in these fully autonomic cars, vans.
Oh wow! Cool.
Houses, but yeah, it is probably high maintenance. It isn't that easy to have.
No.
But traveling with it would be cool.
Yeah. Where have you traveled anywhere else that you want to talk about? Or?
Well, I want to be someday in America and in Canada and Argentina. This. Cool. And where I was now in England, in Spain, in France, in Italy. In Italy, we are every summer because my mother, she learned Italian. So we have to go to Italy. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Where is she from in Italy? Where in Italy is she from? Or do you go?
No, she's not from Italy. She learned Spanish from Dominican Republic and then she learned Italian. Wow. My sister learned Italian too because it's so easy. But
where do you go in Italy?
On the north. So it's the typical part where all the Germans are.
Oh yeah.
It's in Lignano.
Lignano.
Yeah.
We spent some time in Lago Como, Lake Como.
I heard about it.
Nice.
Yeah. What is it? Okay. Yeah.
Really close. It's close to us. I think it's close to Austria in the north.
Ah, okay. South Tyrol somewhere. But yeah, Venice was my mother also sometime.
Yeah, we went there. It was crazy, crazy cool.
Wow, I want to go there. Okay. Nice. Good to know.
Yeah. Apparently someone was telling me that during COVID that dolphins started coming back to the town, like the little townships that are all situated in the water, like dolphins were coming back.
Wow, sweet. How sweet.
Yeah.
I love dolphins. Where were we at?
Yo, Julia, how did you find our show? How did you find A Life Autistic? Like, how'd you come across the podcast?
I'm surfing through podcasts.
Yeah.
And I stumbled upon your podcast. I found it interesting and I wanted to take part on podcasts. So when I have a job again, I will take part on another podcast, which is Autism on Shift. Because it is when you are working. Yeah, I'm looking forward also to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is your work life?
Right now, I'm looking for a new job. There are many human resource companies which are outsourcing people who are looking for jobs and two companies and also like a consultant. Okay. Consultant, you know what this is?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah. And right now, they told me in 1 week it could be that I could work again somewhere. Yeah. And it's pretty easy because you don't have to make that much job search because there are so many which are looking for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's good.
It has advantages and disadvantages. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And early signs of autism, you told me. You asked me.
Yeah.
So, then I had the whole time all these special interests and nobody thought about it further.
Yeah.
So, It would be great if I knew it at puberty, because there were then my struggles to fit in.
Yeah.
I became friends with other outcasts before I had this popular group of friends. We were five, and we had our little club. We went to our little tree house, and we were all girls. After that, I just was friends with all the outcasts, kind of, and not that close. So, yeah, at puberty, you should know, actually. Before, it doesn't make that much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a difficult enough time as it is.
Yeah.
For people trying to figure out who they are and how to fit in and what they're going to become and all the chemicals in your body swirling around and emotional states and everything else. So,
yeah.
Throw a little neurodiversity into that mix, and it's you know.
I would have tapped out. I'm kind of glad I'm finding out
this ring now. Of quirkiness.
Yes.
So tell us, what are some of your quirks? What are some of your quirks?
Right now, yeah, special interest autism.
Yeah,
that's great.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Oh, last night, my wife and I, well, she kind of fell asleep, but we were watching this thing on like public television, and it was about ballet, specifically male ballet dancers.
Yeah.
And they do their act in sort of this like almost comedy. It's like almost like a, like there's part parody and there's part classical training, but it's like, it was done in New York, and it was like in the 1970s. I ended up finding out it was a massive hit with gay people, straight people, black people, white people, like people just went to this thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they feature this younger guy. And the coach says, like, there's some ballet dancers that I just leave alone because they're so good that if I tell them too much, it'll just throw them off. And then it cuts to the ballet dancer, and the producer or director says, like, why are you so good at this? And he says, because of my autism.
So, oh, wow.
I was like, yeah.
autistic right. Ballet dancer. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
He honed in, like, he went to go do like a recital or something to audition for a part.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody else came and did one scene, like one ballet dancer did one scene, or one person did one movement. He did the whole fucking act. Like, he did the whole play.
Wow.
He was like,
wow.
Like, he just detail oriented, memorized the whole thing. And then his coach was like, I wouldn't even really change anything about that.
Wow.
Okay.
So I was like, just so nice to see people like cheer for their autism. Literally.
That's really cool to get that.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to discover that Drew's new special interest is going to be ballet. And hopefully you'll be performing for us as you develop your skills.
All right.
So are you, Julia, are you like, I'm always curious with people because this is such an interesting, well, I don't know. It's just a topic that comes up. Like, are you officially diagnosed? Are you self-diagnosed? Are you in that process? Are you not bothering with that process? Where are you at with that?
I had figured it out at 20 because I wanted to know. I Googled the symptoms and it came up, and I didn't think any of it. Because, well, it didn't bother me that much.
Yeah.
Because now I know what my struggles are, and I could meet people who are like-minded.
Yeah.
And then I went on to, I wanted to study first, but I didn't make it because it is good that here in Austria you don't have to pay for your for studying. So this was okay. I had luck, and then I began a vocational school.
Yeah.
As an electrician after high school, and after this in the time when I was studying, I wanted to work, also to work somewhere, and I didn't find a job. So I realized that autism is an obstacle at job interviews.
Yes.
So now I'm definitely.
Cool.
And after that vocational school, I'm at autism job program where they get me a job coach, which figures out with me what I need. And right now I'm going to work and I will see where I can make it better so that I'll flourish.
Yeah.
Cool.
At work.
Cool.
Yeah. That's important.
It is.
Yeah, like we talk about that all the time, how like sometimes, like we sometimes perceive something as a setback, but it's actually like a good thing to go through something that's hard.
Yeah.
Or like.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, like you talked about job interviews, because I've struggled my entire life with job interviews, and I've never, ever, ever been able to figure out how to get through a job interview without completely sucking. Yeah. And anytime I was in a situation where I had to be looking for a new job, it was like, I would go so far as to say it was traumatic. Like it wasn't just stressful. It wasn't just hard. It was traumatic. And like trying to explain that to people. Yeah. And I didn't have the terminology to understand why people are like, well, what's so hard about it? You go in and you talk and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, it's so being sort of pinned in place and hammered with questions, and you have to think quickly and speak quickly. And then you're also, you have to be consciously aware of your body language and your vocal tone and your, and it's like all those little things like that people like, oh, if they lean forward, you have to lean forward. If they sit back, you have to sit back. If they're speaking enthusiastically, you have to. If they speak more mellow, it's like all that stuff you're trying to consciously do while also answering questions. And I don't think I'm not generally good at answering questions quickly. It's like if you ask me a question, I want my instinct is to sit in silence for 30 seconds or a minute and think about it. But if you do that in a job interview, they're like, you're a weirdo and a freak and get out. You know, but it's like, you could ask me all these questions in a job interview and like, give me 24 hours and let me come back the next day and answer them and I'll nail it because I'll actually process it and go, okay, this is what I think. But I mean, it doesn't work like that, but man, it sucks.
Yeah. Did you see this study? There was a study about job interviews and because why autistics had difficulties with it.
Oh,
and
wow.
They found out, for example, the questions which the interviewer asked weren't clear enough.
Clear, yeah.
They weren't clear enough for neurotypicals. Yeah. They weren't clear enough for autistics. And they put together clearer questions, and then suddenly the autistics were kind of like as good as the neurotypicals at the job interviews.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
I'll send it to you.
I would love it if you could. Yeah, if you could. Thank you. And then I'll, for anyone listening who's curious about that, I'll post the link in the show notes too. So you can find it.
It reminds me of I one time went for an interview at the Keg. You know, the Keg, you probably don't have the Keg Steakhouse, but it's like a chain. Yeah. You know, have you heard of it? The Keg?
I went to a steakhouse too.
Okay. It's like your traditional, like really good steakhouse, right?
Yeah.
And I went there to apply for a job. This is so funny that you said this, because I like actually have this I have this like memory repeat sometimes, maybe once a year. And I end up getting the job, but I almost didn't get the job because one of the questions was, if you were a fruit or vegetable, which one would you be?
And I'm like, that's so weird.
And she's like, well, I'm an onion because there's so many layers to me. And of course, I'm just like trying to get through the question and I pick banana. And it's like, well, how do I turn this into like a metaphor for my.
Yeah.
What a stupid.
Ask me what I stand for. Like,
yeah.
You know, it was so hard. And it's so funny because I think back, like, why didn't I have a better answer? And it's like, you didn't have a better answer because the question was stupid.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they were. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, Julia.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I'm in pineapple because who lives in the pineapple under the sea?
Yeah. The only way to handle that question is to kind of like parody it, you know?
Yeah. Maybe that's what they're actually testing for is how do you react to stupid questions? But I'm an onion because I've got so many layers. Like, get over yourself. Yeah. Okay, now I want us each to answer that question. That's funny to me. Are you still a banana?
Julia's answer is like the best. If you can top Julia's answer, then you win.
Yeah, or like something. How many balls? How many golf balls are in a car? This is so crazy.
Oh, like they fill a car with golf balls?
Too impossible, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At an interview? They asked that at an interview?
Me? What?
Is that an interview question?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Definitely.
That is so crazy.
So, Julia, how are you, like, you're in the process right now. You're working with, like, a coach almost. Like, how do you cope? Like, what do you do to cope with the fact that this is stressful, that you're about to go into a stressful time in your life?
You have to take an analogy that you're kind of like a tourist in the world of the others.
Wow.
So you are very content with this state. And the upside of it is you can do way more work. And I don't want to have that much stress. I will take some something for the ear, and it will work out because it is kind of like a programming job which I will take, or a job where I will sit on the computer.
Cool.
And doing electrical circuits.
Yeah. Oh, cool. That's awesome.
So it won't be that much out there.
Yeah.
A little bit, but not that much.
Is that what you took in vocational school? Like circuitry and stuff?
Yeah. Cool. With high school, I can do now programming stuff. It would be if I didn't. It's an electrician job. So if I didn't went to high school, it would be just an electrician job. But because I went to high school, I can go to program and do this stuff there in Austria.
So cool. Yeah. So cool. I come from a family of electricians.
Oh, like yeah, nice.
I indirectly, like my wife and I, we flipped a house a few years ago. It was the most stressful thing I ever did. I'm still like recovering from it, but I got to do electrical work, so yeah. Blah.
Nice.
Oh, nice, because it's very expensive if you can do very much things alone, it is way better.
Cool.
And what do you do for work, Drew?
I do a lot of stuff like this. I mostly am a producer, probably because of some of the things we've talked about, like I don't do well in an office setting. I'm also in the film carpentry union. So if producing gets a little bit slow, I can go in to the union. But right now I'm producing a documentary series about athletes that have adversity of some form.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, nice. So I'm just trying to get that, all the funding in the door and all that going. And then this is my other focus, is working with Ryan on this show. And just like every week we try and, we have things in our life that come up. All of a sudden, oh my God, I haven't spoken to Ryan in like 3 weeks. And I start panicking, what's going on with the life autistic? But it has this natural progression that's going.
Soon to be the world's number one autism podcast.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. You could do radio work.
Yes, this is the Life Autistic podcast. Here we go.
I feel like that was me on Rogers Television when I was a news reporter.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah. I want to do something with autism too. I would do some programming, kind of like UX, UI, I can make websites accessible and inclusive for autistic people.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very a goal, cool. What I want to have.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How is your family around autism, you? How has that been, the family dynamic and the support and everything there?
Yeah, I just had to think very hard which relative I will tell this, because there are conservative relatives, there are more open relatives. So my father and my mother doesn't believe in mental health and in DSM-5 and in psychiatric disorders. So I don't tell her.
Your mother?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
And my father is pretty conservative, so I don't tell him too. I told it my little sister, she's 14, my brother who is 11. My brother has autistic tendencies. My mother has probably attention deficit disorder, but I can't diagnose.
No.
Yeah. And all my friends and all the other know it, so I'm pretty open. You have to be to find the right people.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing.
I'm way happier. I'm way happier now than I was in my from 15 to 20.
Yeah. Well, that's good that you've found that support network, like in friendships and things. Do you have other autistic people in your life that you interact with regularly at all? Support group or just friends or anything? People you work with?
Yeah. Right now I'm starting a support group of autistic people. Here in my city, I'm meeting once a week autistic people who are searching for jobs with my job coach.
Cool.
We have there some themes like how do you do a video chat as a job interview and so on.
Yeah.
And they are pretty nice. And once a week, I also have a support group online from autistics from Germany, from Switzerland, from Denmark, all speak German. And we speak about various topics. The last time we spoke about image, what is important for people, what not, who do you know with? Who do you know who takes pride in image and all of this? Yeah. So we have every time a new theme, and So we go on, and people come to the support group when they have themes.
Yeah.
And when I start a new support group here offline,
yeah,
I want to cooperate it, and I heard some tips from someone from Denmark who also has a support group, and she said to me, for example, yeah, you have to give help. You have to, distribute everything. So someone makes the buffet. Someone brings, for example, the bread. Someone brings the water, the fruits.
Yeah, yeah.
And so everyone is engaged, and the support group goes on.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had much help, so I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna let my dog out.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, I remember go ahead. No, I was going to say, like, when I first started my process of discovering that I was autistic, I live in a really small town of, 1,000, 1,500 people in the country. And I found out about a support group in the city and an hour away. And I went to that,
yeah,
and it was amazing. The first time I went to that, I just, like, to be sitting in a room with a dozen or so other autistic people for the first time, it was a very impactful, emotional thing. And unfortunately, with the whole COVID thing, we haven't had the group for over a year now, but I'm looking forward to it starting again. And it meets once a month, and yeah, I'm looking forward to that. There's just something kind of nice about being in a room full of people that understand what we're all going through, and you can kind of just let loose and be yourself, and you don't have to mask, and you can openly stim and just kind of really, really, I feel like I for my whole life, I kind of ended up being wound pretty tight because of all the forced masking and stuff. And it's interesting to go in a room full of other autistic people and be able to kind of loosen the screws a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Oh, I had this revelation,
yes,
that after a few hours now, when I talk to people and I'm masking the whole time, I'm trying to smile and trying to mimic, after a few hours, my face hurts.
Yeah.
So the face muscles aren't that trained. So it's like, like having, muscle pain.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting.
That's hilarious.
I can relate
because
to that.
It isn't also trained that much.
Yeah. I can relate to that. And also the mental pain.
it happens.
Yeah. Right on. Is there anything else that you were hoping to talk about today or wanted to discuss? Or
I find it's really off topic. I find it kind of unfair that there are so many products in other countries, because we had countries before. There are products in other countries where you can't, for example, order on Amazon or somewhere, but it's really off topic.
Oh, that's fine. Hey, man, we do off topic here.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah,
I love hearing pet peeves. I love hearing like what makes people tick. I love it.
So, like things that you can't order there, but you like there are available in other countries.
Yeah, that's my main reason to travel.
There you go. What do you have any examples? I'm curious.
Yeah. Ketchup chips.
Probably when I go back to my relatives, I go back every few years to Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
I can eat all the cereals again, which aren't here.
Yes.
And they get to see cereals which are here, and they don't have.
Okay, so you take some with you.
We have very. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have way much more sweet stuff there as here. Here is. Yeah.
That's funny.
That's amazing.
We always have, it's always like a joke here because we're in Canada and we're so close to the States. But like Drew just said, ketchup chips, we've got potato chips, ketchup flavor that I don't think they have in the States. So it's always like a real Canadian thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or there's also this thing the Austrians say, go ketchup something. To smoke because they are a smoker. I'm not a smoker, but they go to Slovenia to just get more, that it doesn't cost that much.
Oh, cigarettes?
Yeah, it's always there, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
that's like, oh man, 25 years ago when I was in Toronto, I was 20 working in a bar. Back then, you couldn't get Marlboro. I used to smoke back then. You couldn't get Marlboros in Canada, but there was one little variety store that used to, I don't know where they got them from, but you could go in this little corner store and you had to make sure you waited until no one else was in the store. And then you would just kind of ask the guy for, I forget what the code word was, but there was a code word you'd have to ask him. And then he would, you know, reach under the counter and pull, you know, get you your Marlboros and put them in a little brown paper bag and, you know, it's a cash only deal. But yeah, it's funny. Like, anyway, yeah.
Oh, right.
Silly, silly things.
Yeah.
Do you find like, go ahead.
No. I wanted to ask probably the same question. Or something.
What's that?
I was just looking. How I see autism in general would be. Now it's way better. In Germany, it begins to. It is like the 80s with. With Stonewall, where it becomes more aware. It is also in German film, and so people still think about it as an illness.
Yes,
but it isn't that far as in it isn't that far as in UK, for example. It isn't that far like in US, but it's going in the right direction. So right now they are forming groups the first time. So it's getting better.
Yeah.
Whole in the world, there needs to be a catch up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, like Germany, like you've been to Germany, right, Ryan? Like it's a pretty progressive place, regardless of a, like maybe not so such a progressive history. Like Germany's like a pretty hip place, from what I gather.
Yeah. From what I saw, yeah, for sure.
Oh,
have you been? You've been to Germany, right, Julia?
Yeah, in Germany there was a group, a new group, in Berlin. It was. About LGBT autists.
Okay. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're pretty progressive.
Yeah. I think about that a lot. Like you talked about the way people view autism as an illness or something that needs to be cured or eradicated. Yeah. And it's troubling to me because I can see, how do I phrase this without hurting anyone's feelings? I can see the need for somebody who is autistic in a way that is extremely debilitating, where they need 24-hour a day care and are not able to do things for themselves and all of that. And I look at that and I say, well, yes, like that person
I don't know what's going on inside that person's head or what their experience of being alive is like, but from the outside looking in, it certainly appears as if that person might be suffering. And as a person with compassion, you want to ease someone's suffering. So that leads to the idea of, this is like, could we cure this or help this or somehow improve this person's situation? Definitely. On the flip side of that, I know I can look at what my own experience is and think, I would not want my autism eradicated or cured. I love the way I think. I love the way I experience the world. I'm learning to accept and love myself as my authentic autistic self. I would not want to change it.
Right.
Even with all the difficulties I've had, I mean, if I could change anything about it in my life, I would just would it would have been great if somebody when I was 4 years old could have said, hey, this kid's autistic. And then, you know, I wouldn't have had to sort of go through 20 years of depression and anxiety and substance abuse and all this other stuff trying to self-medicate a problem that I didn't understand. I also look at it from a historical perspective, and I think about all of the amazing people in the world who were inventors and artists and creators and thinkers and scientists and explorers, people. And like you said, that ballet dancer, like people who become fascinated on a subject, it taps into their autistic mind. They invent things, they create things, they discover things. And they make beautiful music, you know, and that enhance the entire experience of humanity. Why, if we were to go back in time 500 years and be able to cure autism, think about how much we would have lost in that 500 years of beautiful, wonderful things that came from the minds of autistic people. So when I think about that, I think, God, it would be a tragedy to cure autism, to eradicate autism. It wouldn't just be sort of bad. It would be an absolute tragedy. So it's like trying to find a middle place between all this. How do we ease suffering, help people live better lives who are suffering, but at the same time, create more than just awareness, but also an acceptance and embracing autism? Because if this world could learn how to accept autistic people, embrace who they are, help them be authentic and who they are, and man, you're going to get beautiful things out of it. You're going to get art, you're going to get creativity, you're going to get music, you're going to get scientific discoveries, technology, everything. So there's my rant for that. I don't know where I land in that, but it's somewhere in the middle of all that, and it's a difficult question to answer.
Yeah, definitely.
So deal with it, Julia.
So there you go, Julia. There's your
Well, I'm convinced that that's the art, that's the way the whole humanity will go down, when all the smart people are away, when all the smart people are died out.
Yeah.
Kinda. Yeah.
Well, it's like in Austria, like I was there and I stood outside the childhood home of Mozart and read the plaque on the wall. And I think about Mozart and, you know, they didn't have autism as a diagnosis back then, but a lot of people think that he very well could have been autistic. And it's like, where would, if we could have cured autism, where we wouldn't have Mozart, we wouldn't have John Lennon, we wouldn't have, like, you know, all these amazing things. I don't know.
Yeah,
definitely.
So that leads to the question go ahead, Drew.
Well, I was just going to like, just add that I like that. Like if, cause I feel the same way as you do as well. Like I want to go around even with people that are racist and like, kind of like challenge them. But it's like, I realize that the best thing is to keep having these conversations.
Yes.
Have more. Yeah. And like, I noticed that, like, even within, like, I, like you were talking about a tree house, and I was thinking to myself, Julia, earlier, that like, this is my tree house. Like I get to come here every Saturday morning, no strings attached. And I always feel this way. I always feel accepted. It doesn't matter how the conversation goes out, feel good, right? And I think neurotypical people, like they, if they're conscious on any level, they feel that. And so eventually the societal tone around the word autism, it's kind of like, I don't want to say round the corner because that's just such a terrible phrase in modern society. But like, I feel like it's getting more positive. Like when people say autism, it's not like he has autism. Like, you know, there's still that exists, but we're moving to a place of like, it's actually like autism for me is becoming hip. The more you embrace your autism, like the more happy you're going to be if you have it. And the more you, if you're neurotypical, the more you embrace your partners or your people in your world that have autism or at your workplace, you're going to be like, oh shit, I've been looking at the world just this one really narrow way for so long.
Yeah.
Like I was joking with my wife in the yard the other day. I was like, if you want to get a job done right, call an autistic person who's an expert in that field.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
Right? Until society stops fucking with that and saying, no, actually, like, this is a problem. Like, as soon as it's like a full, like, the channel is open, autism can flow, like, then maybe we'll actually have a chance at saving this planet. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's
not too far.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah.
Mic drop.
So here's the magic pill question.
Yes.
Every week we ask our guests the magic pill question. If you could take a magic pill, Julia, and wake up tomorrow autism free, would you take that pill?
No. I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud that I'm autistic. I'm proud of my skills. I'm proud that I can do things that other can't do. I also like my neurotypical friends, probably has ADHD, but I like their quirkiness. I like how they think about the world. So we have this, we speak about it, and we are complementary. So I think it has to be like this. It has to be, it could be a reason, right? But I won't change it any other way.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
there are so many things that you can do.
Yeah.
There are so many things that you can do with it.
Yeah.
What's your goal for, like, obviously electronics, electrical circuitry is like kind of, is it a passion? Would you define it as a passion?
Yeah, I like electromobility very much.
Cool.
Like Elon Musk. I like programming, and I also like web programming. So I'm also like the artsy type.
Whoa.
And I want to do something of everything actually, because I can't choose. They are all great. But if I would have to choose, I would take the job which probably makes more money, but also I make on the side, like some artsy type programming, cool, and help people with it. So nice. That's what I'm thinking about it.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we might be ringing your number for our website. We got to get on that, B.
Yeah, we do. Oh, how are you with Squarespace?
If you were a fruit or vegetable.
Vegetable? I'm a carrot. And I don't know why. I don't know why. Because I lie.
Amazing. Amazing. Oh man.
No, we'll awesome. Have you back on, and you and Ryan can rap.
There you go.
Wow. So kind of like an ant rap would be great. every time we have an end rap.
Yeah, when the show with a rap. Amazing. Oh, this is cool. This is cool.
Well, Julia, you're officially a part of the Life Autistic family here. And, you always look us up. Doesn't have to be on a Zoom call that we record and blast out to the world. We're always here.
Yeah.
And, it's a safe place. So look us up. And I might for real try and convince you to help us with the website because it's not happening.
Yeah. We do need help in that area, definitely. We've had it on our plan to get our new website up for the last 4 months, and we just haven't got it yet. Life happens. We're both dealing with other stuff too, but. Yeah.
No one's to blame.
Yeah, definitely.
It just is what it is. But Julia, this is great. Is there anything else you want to add before we park it for the day?
No, not really.
No.
I have a network of IT people. So if you have something, I could help a little bit.
Yeah.
Like we had a guest last week, and his name was Dave?
Michael.
Michael, my bad. Michael was on, and he wrote a book about his POV of autism. Mm-hmm. And I was commenting to Ryan that like the artwork, it was just like very like minimal, but it was just like these cool shapes, and it just like mm-hmm. it kind of like tickled my brain in an interesting way, and I thought earlier in the conversation how it was interesting how you're talking about like designing websites with autism, with autistic people in mind. I thought that was really profound.
Huh.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So we could talk more if you're cool with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share yourself, your story, your life, your views, everything else with us on the show. We very much appreciate it. And if you we'd be happy to have you back if you ever want to come back again. And awesome. And everything we chatted about, I'll put in the show notes, and anyone listening, I'm sure they appreciate you taking the time as well.
Yeah, Julian, if you could share that that link about autism in like interviews, I think you were talking about.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very cool. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, thanks again so much. And I will email you when the show is up online.
All right. Right.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Right on. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too, Drew. There will be some people who will look it up. So it will be great.
Awesome.
Yeah, really. Thanks for being a part of this.
Thank you.
Right on. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Yo.
And there we go, everybody. That was Julia. This is the Life Autistic Podcast. Thanks a lot, Julia, for taking the time to chat with us today. And anyone listening, you can find us on social media at all the usual places. You can find our non-existent website at thelifeautistic.ca. Coming soon is all you're going to see there, but it'll come soon. And we're on Twitter at Life Autistic Pod. We're on Instagram at The Life Autistic, all one word. Facebook, The Life Autistic Podcast. And if you want to support the show, because I know you do, because we do this every week, and we love it, and we definitely would appreciate a little support. So if you do want to support the show, you can do that through Patreon, patreon.com/thelifeautistic. Mm-hmm. And you can, do a one-time donation there or sign up for a monthly, and just even if you want to throw us 5, 10, 20 bucks or 1,000 bucks a month, whatever is in your budget, that'd be super cool and appreciated. Or you can also go to, if you don't have a Patreon account, buymeacoffee.com/Ryan Summers. That's RYANSOMERS. buymeacoffee.com/Ryan Summers. And you can do just that. Buy me a coffee. It is appreciated.
I'm hosting, folks. It keeps,
what's that?
Keeps this host with the most doing his thing. So there, if it's there, a coffee, a little coffee can go a long way.
There it is. Yeah. So, all right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. As always, thanks Julia again. Thanks Drew for rocking with me, and everyone else, keep living the life autistic.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.